When it comes to creating a horror movie, there are many elements of the scare. Scary monsters, believable makeup and CGI, and of course, the bone-chilling suspense. The same goes for horror-style video games. But the difference is, instead of making an hour 30 movie, they have to create a much longer scenario involving the main character, which you usually have to control. Today we have indie game developer Leo Riveron to discuss the ins and outs of horror-style video games on this edition of Region Nerd Alert. And welcome, everyone.
Hey there.
Hello.
How's it going? So today you are listening to Region Nerd Alert because it is Saturday at 9 p.m. or you're listening online on our online podcast at lakeshorepublicradio.org, 89.1 FM.
Where else can we find this podcast?
You can find this podcast on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. There's another one.
Man, only if there was a dedicated app to NPR Radio.
There is, and we don't have our guy who usually announces that, the old Scroots.
That's right, because I'm taking his seat today.
Yep.
Gasp.
We got to talk about that a lot, dude.
Yeah.
It's so weird, like, looking to my left and seeing, well, Mike, would you like to introduce yourself?
I am Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's. I do photography, Singularity Photography. Look at it, please support me.
Support
him.
The new guy to the left. That's a promotion, too.
This is the throne now.
Now that's
my throne.
He has missed one episode.
Which
Mr. Dwight
Schrute.
I
got promoted, too.
And Heather also got promoted.
Speaking of Heather.
Hey, I'm here today.
Hey, me, her. Oh, I didn't. Oh. I almost said it. Good thing that was a noise and not a last name.
Me, I am Deli Hams with 1 S on Twitter and Deli Hams with 2 S's on Instagram. I'm a graphic designer and cosplayer and prop maker.
Awesome, awesome.
Who else do we have on this?
Yeah.
Well, I would like to introduce a very special man calling in from, is it Chicago, Leo? You're calling in from Chicago?
Yep.
All right. Leo Riveron, who is an indie game developer and who has a game in early access right now?
Yep.
Awesome. And that's Pixel Noir, right?
Yeah, Pixel Noir. And yeah, we're on early access, open to release sometime next year.
Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. And do you have a Twitch that we can watch you?
Go ahead and promote yourself a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm at twitch.tv at Leo Likos. That's LEOLICOS. I'm also on Instagram at Leo Likos, just that by itself. I also have a dedicated cosplay page on Instagram, which is leolikos.cosplay. And then kind of just started doing some music stuff, getting back into that. So that's also on Instagram, leolikos.music.
I was going to say, I love your music stuff. I especially love your Silent Hill. I forgot the name of the specific track, because usually when I listen to Silent Hill, it's Ambience Part 1, Ambience Part 2. But
yeah.
But yeah, I really love your music page as well. And
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And I know we go back. We were just talking before we started about all the cons we've been together, mm-hmm. and over the years, mm-hmm. we're all Maryville high school alums, right? Right.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
ooh,
ooh.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something to be proud of here.
But it is relevant because I guess this goes out to the region. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Well, anyways, today's topic, as you heard from the intro, is all about horror video games, and that is Heather's specialty.
Lies and slander.
But I'm glad you are here today,
you
Heather,
sit
because
on the throne of lies.
Because you can have like a third party outside looking in sort of thing.
Oh, how much I don't like horror games.
As we go through this. But also comparing how the scare of horror games and storytelling in general of video games is vastly different from regular movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's, and I'm not talking about like The Lion King versus The Lion King video game.
Which is also just the scariest thing ever. I don't think anybody in the world has beaten that game.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. So. I remember playing it as a kid and then crying and throwing tantrums.
The Bug's Life game was terrible to play.
Wait, Leo, you're pretty good at platformers. Have you ever gotten far in that game?
Honestly, I was actually just thinking about that game recently, and I don't think I've beaten that yet either.
I think you have your next game for Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stream that.
I would love to see.
Yeah. I'll watch the suffering.
I thought I was cool, too. I, like, picked it up, like,
maybe a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the settings. I'm like, oh, you can give yourself more lives. Oh, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to cream this game. Mm-hmm. Nope. I went from 3 to 5 lives and still died in like the draft level where you're jumping on their heads and stuff. I was so mad. It brought back a lot of, and they all look so happy and then you lose and then you got to start back. And mm-hmm. it's like, I hate this. But today the topic is horror video games, but we're not going to, you know, pigeonhole. Is that the right word? Constrain ourselves to horror games. But this is the final episode of Region Nerd Alert. It's Halloween Spooktacular.
Dun, dun,
see,
dun.
I had everyone in suspense, too, because... Yeah. Yeah, but anyways, yeah, so this is the last weekend of Halloween. If you're listening via Saturday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And if you're streaming it on the stuff, Spotify, lakeshorepublicradio.org, you're probably listening to it in like, what is it, December?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Let's do it. But anyways, so Leo, is there any horror game that like really sticks with you and you're like, man, this is my favorite horror game?
Honestly, I never really was super big into horror games, but the only game that I can really remember playing was sort of recently, and that's the Zombie U.
That game is fun. Zombie
what is
U?
It?
Yeah, it was super fun. I remember it. It was like a couple years ago, maybe now, quite a few years ago. I remember it's really old. And yeah, I played it at my house. And yeah, it was playing it in the dark was always really spooky.
You get remastered recently for the Switch.
Yeah.
Really? What is Zombie U? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Do you want me to take the lead on this one, or? I'll take it. So, Zombie U, it's a game where you're going through London, and you have to make your way through London to actually escape a zombie infestation. But the cool thing is, if you're playing it on the Wii U, one person has control of where the zombies are put. And then the other person has control of the player character. So
is it like a competitive game? Or
I mean, if you're playing it on exclusively the Wii U, if you're playing on anything else, it's just you playing as the player character.
Mm.
But the cool thing is, the player character doesn't stay consistent. If you die in the game, the player character becomes a zombie, and then you take over somebody else. Mm-hmm. You're just a new person, and you have to go back and get your stuff from your zombie.
Oh, yeah.
From your zombie, like, old player character.
What?
Yeah,
it's weird.
Can you, like, restart it and respawn, or is there respawning in that game?
No, it's not really a respawn. You're just taking over a new character. Like, you're just starting, go ahead.
It took me a minute to remember, but yeah, it's basically you're some random character. You're given some random name and some profession, and you're starting off at the same spot. Like, you sort of wake up, and then you go and, you know, you navigate through the area, and if you end up dying, then your character, who you were just playing, becomes a zombie, and you're some new rando with some random name, spawning from the same beginning location. Now you have to go and kill your old previous self to get your old loot back and continue through.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's very, like, roguelike.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm. Like, very roguelite. And, like, in the sense that, like, you have to go get your stuff, and you're starting over from scratch when you do die. But you can go beat up your old self, get your stuff back, and then continue on.
Yeah.
That's a really cool
That game gets real hard, too.
Yeah.
So is there a story to that game?
Yeah, there is. I don't remember much of it, but...
Yeah, I don't remember much of it either.
Hmm. Well, that's really interesting. Yeah. I need to pick that up. I mean, you said they just remade it for the Switch?
They remade it recently, yeah. I don't know if it's just exclusively for the Switch.
Well, I played it on PS4. I never played it on the Wii U.
So, yeah, it probably got put on the PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch.
They dropped the Zombie U part of it, and they just made it Zombie with an I.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what the remastered one was for the PlayStation 4, because it came out on the PS3, Xbox 360, and Wii U.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, speaking of, like, consoles and stuff, Leo, Pixel Noir, is it exclusively on PC, Steam?
Nope. So it'll be on Steam, so PC, Linux, Mac, and it'll be on PS4, PS Vita, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch at release.
That's awesome. Like, mm-hmm. The first time, like, I seen, like, artwork for your game, I'm like, I bet this plays really well on the Switch. Because it reminds me of, like, a Celeste or, like, an Undertale, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta say, Leo, like, the music for it, the one you sent me, oh, my gosh. May I play that right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Man, because the thing about, like, video games in general, or, heck, any movie or anything story-driven in general, is the soundtrack, like the OST. Like, I absolutely love soundtracks of video games, movies. I have the Matrix Reloaded soundtrack in my car right now.
What are you doing, just running around listening to Matrix?
Yeah, like the highway scenes and just like sweating while I'm driving. Man,
early 2000s new metal was something else.
Oh, yeah, and that, oh, and early 2000s like techno too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, yep. I'm going to play a little bit of this music, and then when we come out of it, maybe Leo, if you can explain... I don't know, you don't want to give away too much, but maybe where this is setting up in the game. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I can talk about it.
Awesome, awesome. So I'm going to play a little bit right now. If it works. Right, so that, oh my, I love that. Like, literally, that's what I listen to all the time.
That was funky.
Like, when I'm, like, editing at work, like, I just listen to video game soundtracks, and that is an amazing soundtrack. So, Leo, if you want to, yeah, if you want to tell us about who actually does your sound, or I guess the soundtrack for that.
Sure, so it's Kunal. He's pretty much the main audio guy on our team, and we also have the guy that does Legend of Secrets of Mana on our team, helping out with some of the tracks, nice. Too. So.
What? Wait, for real? Oh, my God. That's, like, one of my favorite RPGs. They just remastered that for PS4. I was going to pick that up recently.
But, yeah.
Holy, that's amazing. I had no idea.
You know, I should know, like, his name, too, and everything, and I feel really bad I don't off the top of my head. But I'm not sure what he does on Secrets of Mana. You might do the whole soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure as far as that.
That is so cool. And speaking of soundtracks, some of my favorite soundtracks, and keeping it horror game as well, is Silent Hill. Like, I can play that. That's like the only horror game I can really play at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. by myself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, I need someone there, or I need it to be daylight, or my mother to be there. But just in the relation of music, I'm going to play a little bit of a Silent Hill ambience right now. And Leo, you're probably very familiar with this as well. Like, oh my gosh, that is so relaxing.
That really is.
And every time I tell everyone, like, that's from like a horror video game, and I show them the monsters from it, they're like, how does that work? Like,
you fall asleep to that, actually.
Mm-hmm. I do fall asleep to that, like, every night. If it's
monsters
not,
in the background.
Doesn't Majora's Mask have a lot of like creepy ambience music into it?
It has that Nintendo 64 sounds to it.
Yeah, it's like initially, I don't think it's like a creepy game. Mm-mm. It's just
it's classified as creepy.
It's there's a lot of the color scheme, I would say, is like a little bit different. Like, there's, I don't know, it's like darker colors, and it's well, I guess the Majora's Mask character himself is
Majora's
also,
is pretty.
terrifying. And oh, I almost forgot the moon.
The moon, yeah.
The moon. The happy mask guy.
The happy mask guy, yeah, like.
You make him mad, and he's like all like staring down at you like.
Oh, my God. Leo, have you played Majora's Mask?
Yeah. No, that's interesting that you bring up Zelda games just in general, because I do find that audio-wise, there does have an undertone, like minor sort of like dark feel to some of the music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a dark elf or something. Like, it's very mysterious. Like,
yeah.
I noticed that more in Twilight Princess than I did in Majora's Mask.
I think Twilight Princess is my second favorite Zelda game. I haven't played the new ones.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I have not played Breath of the Wild. I heard that was a good one. But Majora's Mask is my favorite. And also, speaking of Majora's Mask, like, spoiler alert, whoever hasn't beaten Majora's Mask. Actually, I don't have to spoil it.
It's been 10,000 years, okay?
I want to say, hasn't it been, like, almost, like, at least 20 years or so?
Yeah, roughly 10,000 years. So.
Has it?
I'll fact check while you talk.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, the fact that, like, you're helping each, tribe in there, and I think there's, like, a death in each tribe, isn't there? Like, it's something related to death. Because you take the mask of, like, their souls and become the embodiment of them.
Quick. It came out April 27th, 2000. So it will be 20 years old next year.
Oh, wow. Good night.
April 27th. Hey, listener, you're listening on April 27th? What a coincidence.
Hey.
Man, we're jumping throughout the whole calendar year. But also, speaking of music... And I guess we'll talk about Silent Hill a little bit. What I love about Silent Hill is how it's not like a horror game like Doom or something where you're going around killing these.
And hearing the hard rock of like.
Space monsters.
Oh, the Doom soundtrack is just. Oh, man.
Isn't that like Metallica inspired, like hard rock?
No, it is. It's more of. It's more like Genty. It's more like Periphery, and it's a lot heavier than Metallica.
A lot heavier than that.
Yeah.
Periphery is actually Doomish.
Enter Sandman. When you're just playing Doom, that's all I think about.
Yeah, it does sound like a riff from like Justice for All or something. Like, I can hear that. But I feel like it's so different, and it's not predecessor, but something else that also came around the time is Resident Evil, and that was like a shoot 'em up zombie game. Like not like a like an arcade shooter, but like, you know, you're in a mansion and solving a mystery.
Around.
And that and Silent Hill like have amazing soundtracks, and it's like a scare outside of a scare, because it's like, oh, you're in a relaxing atmosphere with that music. But then, like, when stuff hits the fan, it's the most horrifying things you've ever seen.
You know what an effective soundtrack is? An absence of one, a.k.a. PT.
Yeah.
The sound design in that game was terrifying. You ever played it, Leo?
An absence of one.
I don't think so. What is it called?
PT.
You can't play it anymore, technically. Yeah. You can watch YouTube videos of it. But it's not available to download or play.
Because it stands for playable trailer, I believe. And it was supposed to be the
new Silent Hill.
The trailer for Silent Hill, because at the end it revealed Norman Reedus as like the lead protagonist of it.
Yep.
But
the whole game takes place, if you haven't played it, whole game takes place in one L-shaped hallway. You go down a hall, turn or take a right, go down or go through a door, down two steps, go through a door, and you're just looping back in that hallway. And most of the game is spent in utter silence except your footsteps in this hall.
There's some radio here.
There's a radio that fades in and out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's no music.
I think it's like a phone ring sometimes.
Yeah. It's just ambient noises. And that game unsettled me that was almost the most unsettling game I've ever played.
For somebody who doesn't play a lot of horror games, I actually did play that game.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I watched a lot of YouTube videos before it, like just to like understand, and I kind of like wanted to like not be terrified, because if I get my anxiety gets too high, I just can't play it. I just stop. So I just went through it. I really enjoyed the puzzles to it, because I like puzzle games, so I like going through trying to find where everything's at and. Trying to like figure out the clues or like why.
It was kind of awesome. Like I didn't even know there was puzzles in it until like later on.
Somebody told you.
Yeah.
Leo, you got to, you need to watch it just because one of the main scares in that game is it's completely silent except this radio. And it's talking about a newscast about some horrific event. And the guy's going about his thing. He goes, yeah, a family of two. And he fades in and then goes, family of two, look behind you. Look behind you.
In the game?
In the game.
I'm so glad that part didn't happen to me. My goodness.
That's mostly why I was curious about the things that could happen in it. Mm-hmm. That's why I played it.
I played it at Mike's house. I remember. Well, Mike also remembers. He told me not to throw his controller.
Specifically said, Jose, don't throw my controller.
And I tried my hardest. I'm like, at least I'm not going to throw his controller. And I threw his controller
clear across the room.
Because I knew it was like, this controller is the portal to this scary thing happening. And if I'm holding it, it's going to get me. So I'm going to throw it.
Yeah, Leo, if you get the chance, you watch make sure there's no narration in it. Watch just a straight playthrough of PT.
Okay,
in fact,
everybody
who's listening to this, if you haven't played PT, haven't heard of PT, look up a playthrough. Zero narration. Put some good headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's something you got to at least experience once.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And speaking of that type of gameplay, Five Nights at Freddy's comes up as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, you're
stuck in a place.
You're stuck in a place and you're trying to do something. And if you don't do it, then you're going to get blasted with noises and scary things.
Well, not really noises, but literally animatronics that kill you.
Yeah.
Well, can you say the sort of the premise of it real quick?
So again, not huge into horror games, but I can watch the heck out of them for Let's Plays. Really weird. Don't ask me why and how
you do know
works.
A lot about them.
Yeah. I can watch them as somebody else is playing them, but I can't play them. So Five Nights at Freddy's is basically Chuck E. Cheese gone wrong. You are stuck in a room. You are the night security man. You're going through this whole thing, making sure nobody breaks in. If somebody were to break in, making sure nothing happens to the animatronics. Animatronics come to life, in Night in the Museum, but not exactly good. They are trying to kill you. First starts out day one, only one comes to life. Day two, second one comes to life. Day three, four, five, you get more and more things you have to check out. Make sure Ball Boy doesn't come through the vent. Make sure Foxy doesn't run at you and kill you and rip you to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure Chica doesn't shove a cake in your face and rip you apart. There's a whole bunch of things.
I think my favorite part about that game is every night you get a voicemail from your supervisor, your trainer. And then there's one night he goes, yeah, I forgot to tell you, the last guy who had your position, he just sort of disappeared on the seventh day. I mean, I don't know. Hey, I gotta go, but, good luck, all right?
Mind you, there's a lot of gains for this series, and, there's a whole overarching plot, and,
Yeah, it's complicated.
That's opening a Pandora's box right now.
I really wanted to talk about Five Nights at Freddy's, because its storytelling is really cool.
Yes.
Because it almost reminds me of Dark Souls Bloodborne storytelling.
You got to work for it.
You got to work for it. And it's just a simple game of you trying not to, you're trying to survive.
Yep.
And the same thing happens over and over. But there's actually a huge storyline inside the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it reminds me of Dark Souls and Bloodborne because it doesn't tell you directly once upon a time,
It's not.
It's in the details, what is it called? The one bite or something like that?
Yeah, there's certain things.
The bite.
The bite of 67 or something that. There's newspaper things that pop up between each loading of the first day. Mysterious thing got closed, blah, blah, blah. And each game has hints to the plot, but you have to put it together yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real narration besides the intro guy on the phone. And that depends on the game, because there could be just you just walking in and you're like, hey, do your job, see ya. And then you do your job, and then there's just things coming at you trying to kill you.
So real quick, what kind of storytelling style do you guys prefer? I like the Dark Souls one.
Not straight to you?
Yeah, either directly telling you the story or you having to work for the story. Which one do you guys like?
What do you think, Leo? Like, what when you're playing a game?
Good question. I think I don't like the break in immersion. Like, if there's a menu that comes up that says, "Oh, you have to do this now" or whatever, I think I definitely prefer like in-game NPCs telling me what to do.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, because I will say, like in Resident Evil 4, when you're having this amazing fight, and if you guys haven't played Resident Evil 4, and the listeners, if you haven't.
Spoilers.
I say that for everything, because I got the Sixth Sense ruined for me like 10 years later. I'm like, oh.
Never forget.
He's dead the entire time? Oh,
wow, spoilers.
But Resident Evil 4, like, you're going through the knife scenes, and then, well, those are like, what are those called? Triggered?
QTEs, quick time events.
Yeah, quick time events, but still, like, when it pops up on the screen, I'm like, oh, I'm not watching, like, this awesome movie. Mm-hmm. And it does sort of, like, take me out of it.
But, yeah, it takes you away slightly, and, some games it works. And, yeah, some games it's just like, oh, I'm not playing the game again.
Right. Yeah. So in Pixel Noir, since you are, like, a game developer, how do you incorporate, like, is that in your game, like, NPCs telling you how to play, basically?
Yeah, so there aren't really any tutorial systems, per se, anything that's directly hand-holding. But there are some cases, especially, like, in battle, that do show you like a timed hit, so it actually freezes the screen and has a dialogue that says, if you press it now with the visual like this, then you can block the attack or whatever. But other than that, if you want to learn about like the case system or the map system or the items, usually there's an NPC out walking around outside. I think we have one NPC called the Encyclopedia Boy or something like that, who kind of tells you about random encounters and some other useful tips like that.
Oh, that's awesome. So, it is an RPG, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So does it play sort of like, I guess, like Super Mario RPG, in the sense it's like, oh, you're these guys battling these guys, and then there's like quick time events, or is it more just like turn-based? Well, I guess they're both turn-based, but...
Well, it's very influenced by old-school turn-based RPGs. So the ones that have, you know, one turn at a time... You do the action plays out, some damage happens, and then it's the next person's turn, right? Mm. That's very different than some of the newer RPGs like Kingdom Hearts, where everything is kind of active battle.
Right.
We wanted to stick with the older kind, just kind of that's kind of the vein of old school 2D JRPGs. That's the types of games that we like. But I'm actually changing the battle a little bit to kind of make it a little bit more interesting. We're kind of finding that, you know, this old recipe for RPGs isn't really working it in our game, mm-hmm. at least as much as we'd like it to. So I'm changing it a little bit more towards Grandia, if anybody's ever played that.
Grandia.
I'm still working mm-hmm. through some of the mechanics and how it works, but it's pretty much a mix between active battle and turn-based RPG.
Oh.
I don't want to get too much of an explanation because it is kind of long.
Right.
But it makes things a lot faster. It makes the battles a lot more, faster paced. And also there's a little bit of dynamics to be able to actually cancel and interrupt an enemy's attack if you attack them, like right before they get their attack out. So it kind of adds a little extra layer while still being, a turn-based RPG.
So it probably plays more like a Tales of RPG. That's mostly where I know like that kind of battle system from.
I'm not familiar with that one. The only one I'm familiar with is Grandia. Someone that mentioned that, and I looked it up, and I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So going back to the story, can you explain to us like the story a little bit of Pixel Noir? Because I was reading it, and I was surprised to see, because when I first heard about it, and I was looking at the initial picture, I was like, okay, like, you think of detective noir story, like black and white, but I was really surprised to see like the word Cthulian in there and like actual horror elements of it.
Yeah, there are some lore that we have that we're still kind of building out, as well as in the rest of the story. But in general, I guess the main story is you're a detective, and at the beginning of the story at the beginning of the game is actually the prologue. So when you play through chapter one, this is actually in the past. Hmm. And 10 years ago in the past, you're running or you're working as a detective trying to solve cases. And one of the cases is sort of a suicide, and you uncover some clues, and it leads you to the abandoned hospital. And without revealing too much, an accident happens at the hospital, and it explodes. Your partner ends up dying, and a bunch of people are killed as well. In the next chapter, then, that's when you get sent to prison, and you have some cases to do there to kind of figure out, you know, how you got sent there, what actually happened that night. And then in the next chapter, that's sort of present day. So now, you know, in the game in current time, you're out of jail, and you're running a detective sort of agency through your apartment, kind of working on your own and going around town solving cases, trying to put the pieces together to inevitably clear your name. But now, because you've gone through all that trauma, you suffer through hallucinations sometimes, and you'll see monsters throughout the world. And so you have to decide if, you know, the monsters are the ones that you should trust, or if the other monsters are the ones you should trust, because these happen kind of all throughout the game now.
Right.
And so our motto is, who can you trust when you can't even trust yourself, because you're hallucinating now? And yeah. Yeah, then it goes from there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I also like sensed a little like Lynch-y stuff. Like the picture that I brought up, it was like the monster that keeps reappearing in like a red room, and that sort of reminded me of like the Twin Peaks David Lynch, the famous Red Room, where he's trying to figure out what's going on in his head while basically talking to these things that aren't there, or are they there?
Yeah, that's an interesting connection. I'm not familiar with that connection, but that hospital monster that you're referring to, that's the one that kind of what's the word? Not it kind of follows the detective, and it's sort of his psychological torture that's reminding him that, you know, the hospital that blown up, his partner getting killed, and his also motivation for, you know, clearing his name and figuring out what happened.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I'm very much looking forward to this. And so when is the game? So when are you planning to like have like the full game out?
Well, we've had to push back the date for quite a bit now, and we're really hoping to be finished with implementation by the middle of next year. And then however long it takes for the actual porting to take place, and working with our publisher to then put it on the market.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Leo, because I am very excited about this. I was actually going to play like the early access when I think I was texting him, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get the game tonight. But my computer completely stopped, and my charging cord to my crappy MacBook finally went out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm buying a computer next weekend. So thank you, Leo, because I'm actually finally inspired to buy a new computer after, 2011?
That's an old MacBook.
It's an old MacBook.
That's ancient in computer years.
Ancient. And it's broken, too. Like, it was broken since 2012. I'm not going to lie. But
it's a one. I'm not going to ask.
Anyways, just a little midway point. If you're just tuning in, we are with Leo Riveron, indie game developer. He has a game coming out, Pixel Noir. Early access is right now on Steam. And you are listening to Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And if you missed any of this and you're like, wow, this sounds like it's very interesting, which, of course, everyone does. I couldn't think of that next word. But you can listen to it on lakeshorepublicradio.org. Just go to the programs tab, click down, and then you'll see Region Nerd Alert. And click that, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff. And this is actually the last weekend of our basically talking about spooky subjects.
Our Too Spooky series.
Spooky.
Too Spooky for you. And it's also on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. And then one other one that I always forget.
What about that dedicated app that seems to be out there? The NPR One app?
NPR One. Ooh. Exactly. So you can download the NPR One app and follow Lakeshore Public Radio on
however
that.
However you please.
And I will pop up. And we also have great local content on this radio station as well, which is my place of employment. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but probably not. But thank you for joining us. So for this next part of the podcast, I kind of want to talk about basically horror games where instead of you're fighting for your life, but not fighting in a sense.
Yeah. You're, okay. You're, there's no
You're running away with your life.
You don't have a gun or a bat. Like,
there's no defensive options.
Right. You just have like a lantern.
I'm sorry, offensive options.
Amnesia.
Yeah, amnesia.
Ooh, that Alien Isolation.
Alien Isolation. Slender Man.
Layers of Fear.
Layers of Fear, which is about...
Dark Deception.
What was that one?
Dark Deception.
Dark Deception. I don't think I've heard of that
one. Yeah, that one's new to me.
What is that one?
It's a free Steam game. It's really awesome. It's very similar to, like, if you can imagine a 3D Pac-Man, except you're, you know, the player that has to run away from things, and the ghosts are the monsters that jump scare you.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
I've heard of this.
It's so dope. It's so dope.
Wait, what?
I've watched it.
There was one.
Yeah.
Pac-Man in general scares me.
Pretty terrifying.
Also, I'm like the master at Miss Pac-Man. I want to put that out into the airwaves.
Well, you got to play this now.
I got to play it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got to be terrified.
If the old screw was here, he would definitely attest to my powers of Miss Pac-Man because I can get through all the fruits. I'm saying that right now.
Okay, is that level one with all the fruits or just like level two? Because, I mean, any person can get through level one with all the fruits.
Well, like the level one fruits. And then when it goes back, like I...
Okay, level two fruits?
Like, I can get a little bit into the level two fruits.
Okay, so you're not like the best.
Okay, so there's one game I really want to shout out real quick. I had to look it up. It's called Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion.
What?
Oh, wait, hold on. Scratch that. That's not the game. Ignore this whole thing.
You said Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion? Can we talk about Luigi's Mansion?
Oh, no, that's it.
That is a very spooky game.
No, it is. Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion. So basically, it's 1,000 rooms mm-hmm. that you have to go through.
I've watched this.
And every 100 rooms, there's a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, it starts off like you're in like tight corridors and it's all randomly generated. And every once in a while, these cute little drawings will pop out, like jump scare you. And it's like a spooky little ghost. And it's like a little adorable ghost.
Oh, so it's cute?
It's cute. And then the further like in the game you go, the worse it gets. Like it starts off as spooky ghost. And then like you go into one thing and it's like, oh, here's a laboratory, but this thing's busted out. Oh, that's weird. And then you just hear this just like guttural, just nasty, chittery noise running towards you. And you're like, oh, God, you have to run away from it.
And it follows you for a while.
Like, it follows you for quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
Through
gosh.
The floor, like through the doors and all that, like the floors of those things. And you're just running through. And then eventually the sound will just stop. You're like, okay, I'm safe.
Nope.
And you're just walking around, just like, la, la, la. You'll have a jump scare once in a while. You're like, And then it'll just like... You'll just hear that noise again. You're like, oh no. And then like you'll look behind you and it's right behind you. You're like,
It gets real intense
that
real
is
quick.
Terrifying.
And there's 1,000 floors.
Wow.
Yeah.
I cannot get through that, especially with headphones because I'm very skittish. Like Mike knows my weak point. I won't say it on air just in case some crazy fan comes up. Hey, you got your weak point. And then I'd fall and melt.
Fall and melt.
I will melt. But, what was I going to say? What were we just talking about? Amnesia and Slender Man.
Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Mansion.
Games without an offensive way.
Oh, sorry. Luigi's Mansion has a vacuum. That's offensive.
Yeah, the vacuum.
Offense.
One game in this category I really like is Alien Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is kind of a offensive mean. Like, you do get like a flamethrower, but it's almost useless.
Mm-hmm.
You get a gun and a flamethrower, it's almost useless against the main threat, which is the xenomorph, the mm-hmm. alien.
See, I'm glad you brought up Alien Isolation, because compared to the movie, how would you say like the scares are different, or is there stuff that reminisces of the movie?
It's actually really, it's really similar, because in the first Alien movie, you don't really see the alien.
Right.
You see like its shadow, or you see like parts of it.
A little frame that goes.
Yeah. And you see that. But at the end, you see the alien. And even then, it's still like in the dark. Whereas Alien Isolation, you hear the alien and you do see it. And when you see it, it's hunting you.
You run.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You don't run, because running will get you killed in that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So how the alien works, Leo? Have you ever played Isolation?
I don't think so.
No, okay. You might really find this interesting then. So the alien works. There's no dedicated AI. they're not dedicated pathfinding. Mm-hmm. There's no like dedicated path the alien goes down. So basically the game knows where you are at all times and tells the alien, hey, they're over here somewhere. And mm-hmm. the alien goes into that area and searches in that area.
I was going to say, didn't you say
that's mean.
I was going to say that dedicated. So you play a different game. Like everyone will have like a different
experience.
Everyone
will have a different experience. The tools that you use to help you survive can actually kill you in that game because the motion tracker, like the famous alien motion tracker, when it detects motion, it pings like bing.
Oh.
And the alien will hear that.
Oh my gosh.
So wow. Like if you're hiding under a desk and you pull it out to try to like cheat where it's at, you'll hear ping, and then all of a sudden the alien tail come down and get you from underneath the desk.
Oh my gosh. So how are the jump scares in that game?
They're pretty intense.
Wow.
That sounds brutal.
Yeah, because there are like the jump scares, the main scares are you hiding and going, okay, is it going to find me? Is it going to find me? Oh God. Is it going to find me? Just that tenseness. Like you don't know, like, am I about to lose or not?
Oh yeah.
And see, that tenseness, like you can't, like you can get like if there's a movie and it's really good at storytelling and putting you in the, like that first person, you know, and I'm not talking about like shaky cameras, like actual
found footage.
Yeah. Movies. I'm not talking about that, but like Alien. Like the movie Alien, yeah. it's a movie, and you're like, man, I'd hate to be, what's her name, Sigourney Weaver?
No, you actually play her daughter, and you actually play her character's Ripley?
Ripley.
Yeah.
Oh, in the game you do?
Yeah, you play her daughter.
Whoa, that's mm-hmm. a cool little nod, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in the game, like, you probably feel her fear in that.
Oh, yeah, and like, absolutely.
That is amazing.
Because everything is against you in that game. Everything. Like, there's people on the ship, they're against you. There's, I forgot, what Working Joes, is that what they're called? The robots? Leo, you know what they're called?
No,
okay, they're the weird cyborgs. I forgot what they're called. But
I've seen Alien once. The first Alien once.
They're against you.
I was bamboozled into seeing an Alien movie.
The gun.
That's a whole other story.
The gun that you do get in Alien Isolation is mainly for the cyborgs. Hmm. But the problem is, you start fighting those, guess what's right behind them?
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're not fighting the alien.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it's a good game. I like when games can like pull you into it
mm-hmm.
and make you feel the fear that the character's supposed to be feeling.
That is awesome. I love yeah. things that oh, go ahead, Leo.
Oh, I was just gonna say that like I was just thinking about the difference between, you know, games and horror movies, and mm-hmm. it's that feedback that you get from games and also the difference, you know, because a movie it's, you know, one production, you see the same thing over and over again, whereas a game, if you do something different, then the AI is going to kick in, it's going to jump scare you, and it's going to be a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually cool to think about, because every time I watch a horror movie, like Halloween,
mm-hmm.
every time I watch it, like every time, I'm like, don't go in there, don't go in there. But they're going to go in there.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen the scene, and I'm watching it, and there's something in my mind that's like, maybe they won't go in there. But they go in there.
Maybe they won't this
but
time.
In a video game, like if I'm like, don't go in there, oh wait, I'm controlling you, you're not going in there
unless like you're forced to go in there,
right?
Because like
you're
the plot
forced,
like
yeah.
you are guided yeah. into that room for a reason.
It's a little cinematic.
Yep.
I love that.
I want to hear everybody's opinion on this, like mm-hmm. before we move mm-hmm. on to anything. I want like the thing that scared you the most in games. Because if I get a chance, I'll tell my story.
Okay.
All right, let's start with Heather, because I'm kind of curious
yeah,
on this one.
Yeah.
So this is really, really dumb, okay?
Uh-oh.
This is, like, the stupidest thing.
Come on.
Is it Bug's Life?
No. Horror Bug's Life game. No. Actually, it's about a bug. So I used to be definitely afraid of spiders. Now
okay.
I'm not as afraid.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid, Ocarina of Time has those skeletons
mm.
in the first little dungeon there.
Mm-hmm.
I got this game when it first came out. Well, no, actually, I came out in 93, so I wasn't really alive then.
I wasn't alive.
So, if I think it was 93 that game came out. So, I was like maybe a few years old, like 3, 4, just now, like getting a controller and like playing the games and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't play this game for the longest time because the spiders scared the heck out of me. I'm serious. Like, it would drop down right in front of me. I'd freak out, and I'd just turn off my Nintendo 64, and I would run away and not touch my Nintendo 64 for, like, a good a good like rest, like a good few hours, and I just like take the game out and put like Mario Party in. And I'm like, okay, I'm just playing Mario Party now.
That's a no to those spiders.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's like, I guess like this, like that's my like most vivid memory of being afraid. Mm-hmm. I would say Amnesia, because I did play Amnesia for a little bit, but I never saw the monster. I was just like afraid of the atmosphere, because the atmosphere is really good in that game.
That atmosphere is real good in that game.
Mm. Let's see what else. And then some parts of Bloodborne actually got me like a little bit like on edge, but not like terrified, but not afraid. But that's because the atmosphere again.
Some
is
of the
really
sounds
good.
Of that game are horrendous.
The monsters as you progress like are terrifying.
The pig.
Oh, the man-eater? Yeah.
The pig in the first area of Bloodborne. I turned the corner, didn't know the pig was there when that first game first came out. And I got hit with it. I was like, okay.
Or the random monster that just picks you up.
Oh, and the if you don't, amygdalas.
And if you don't have enough insight, it's just you're being levitated and crushed.
Yeah, you're just like...
And then you're dead. What about you, Leo?
I think like I said, I haven't really played too many horror games, but I think the only ones that actually, like, gave me a scare was the zombie one, and that's just because I always played it in the dark, like by myself.
And then that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a no-no for me.
And then before that, the only one I can remember was the new when it first came out. I think it was called Resident Evil Zero for GameCube.
That is my favorite Resident Evil game.
It was like the first beginning scene, right when you like I think I'm pretty sure it's either the first part of the like chapter one or whatever,
like the train. Speaking of Heather, you would like this part if he's about to.
I've played this game, but only the train section several times.
I don't remember the train part, but I remember there you see one of the zombies and he like slowly turns his head towards the camera, and I remember I kind of like I was like, whoa, it was so creepy. I just like I couldn't get anything much after that.
Yeah, the Resident Evil series, like I love the way they do their scares. As it goes on, like it's kind of like a shooter up.
Yeah,
like, especially after Resident Evil 4. But
yeah, once it hit 5 and 6, those are just run and gun nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I was gonna say in Resident Evil 0, like it's the most like realistic spider taking up the cabin of a train.
I'm not afraid of spiders anymore like that, but like when I was a kid, those skeletons were giant and terrifying.
To show you that as a kid, because that it scared me because it was so realistic.
The mouth on those things were like blood red and like ooh. And so,
so Heather, you say you have another one.
There's one more, and this was like a while ago in BioShock. There is an area where you go down below, and like you're just like going through like this area, and it's like a one room, empty. And like it's full of water, like I want to say like calf high, like half calf water, and you're just running through. And there's an item all the way in the far right corner. Like okay, whatever, you're just walking through this room, pick up the item, you turn around, there's these statues all around you, just like reaching out toward you.
Mm.
And I was like, it was definitely a jump scare because like you don't think those statues are gonna come out.
And just
you.
To cut real quick, speaking of BioShock, that's another game. It sort of has like a linear story. But the thing with a video game is usually like the developers put in like Easter eggs or other things that you can read or like voice recordings that you don't have to complete. Like you don't have to listen to this to complete the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have the option to, and it just enriches your story and like creates a completely different story.
Yeah, it's more immersion for sure.
Yeah, the immersion factor of video games.
I was gonna say, doesn't like Silent Hill and Resident Evil have those a lot?
Oh yeah. a whole bunch. Especially,
I mean, there's an entire story just about Umbrella and how it gets bought out by was it Triforce? I think not Triforce. It's oh god,
Ganondorf, Link, and Zelda.
Yeah, no, it's Tricell. That's what it's called.
Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah. It gets bought by Tricell. It's this huge, ridiculous backstory.
Luigi, no. But I will say one more thing before we go back to our scariest moments. Silent Hill. The thing about Silent Hill I love, it's kind of a linear story. There are things that you can do bonus, but the big thing to take away from the Silent Hill franchise is the environment and the ambience that it creates.
Yeah.
Because like you're going to think of the game and you're going to remember the monsters, like the crazy psychological monsters and the double meta meanings and stuff. But you're also going to remember like the relaxing music that I played for. Wait, is this still on?
No, it's not. Oh, it is still on.
Yeah. So you're going to hear this music and you're going to remember the music and you're like you walking through the town. Because if you're not familiar with Silent Hill, you're walking in like a town with ashes like falling like snow. and it's like gray fog purgatory. And you're going to remember that feeling that it is.
And the static, too. The static and from the radio static telling the monsters are coming. Yeah.
And then, like, the big horn, like the...
Because Silent Hill is all about, like, psychological horror, right? Because it's all, like, psychological-based.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of the monsters are.
And that's something that you can't get from, like, 5 or 10 minutes in an area in a movie. Like, you have to, like, live in it, like, control your, like, character through it. And that's why Silent Hill is, like, my favorite game. But anyways, Mike.
All right.
Because you know mine, which is the PT throwing the controller.
Oh, yeah.
You already did yours.
So my the scariest moment I've had from a game wasn't from a horror game.
No.
It's from one of my favorite games of all time, Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So in the game, you get calls from your colonel, and it comes through. And when they call, you hear like a beep, 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 beep sound. And it only happens every once in a while in the game. In this one particular area... It's you're getting calls every 30 seconds constantly, and you're like unarmed, you're like trying to hide from guards, trying to get out of this place, and every 30 seconds you're hearing beep 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 beep. You answer the call and it's the colonel, but he's always a little different because you could see his face like every time you answer the call, but he's always facing the same direction, same spot, everything. Well, he starts like looking different directions, he's like zoomed in. He's like backwards. Mm. And then as you go on, he gets more and more distorted, talking about just nonsense. And then it's like one call, it shows his entire skull, and it's just a skull talking to you like gibberish. And then before I say this next part, at the beginning of the game, you have to enter your information, like, you know, like your name, and, you know, it's like random things like blood type and stuff like that.
Right.
And at one of these calls, he calls you and super zoomed in on his face as a skull, and he goes, "Mike, you need to stop playing the game now. You've been playing for 15 hours." And mind you, it's 3 a.m. when this is going on. I'm in a pitch black basement, and this game is saying my name, telling me how long I've been playing this game. And then it cuts over to another character in the call, and it goes, "Yeah, doctors say you shouldn't play games for more than 12 hours. You've already done this and that." And it starts reading your memory card. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm done for today. I'm done for tonight."
Yeah, that's definitely a step up from Luigi's, man.
Yeah, I was, yeah, my spine, my spine just like cringed. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm done for tonight.
Well, that takes me remembering back to Eternal Darkness for GameCube, which does the same exact thing. It reads your memory card. It disables your memory card. It disables your controller. Makes you unplug your controller and only play from the second, third, or fourth slot. It messes up your character.
Yeah, because that game has a lot to do with sanity.
Yeah, it's all that one's also like psychologically based. Like it's all about.
Oh. What is it? It sounds very familiar.
It's for the GameCube. It's an older game, Eternal Darkness.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, like sanity is a huge mechanic in the game.
Mm-hmm. The lower your sanity, the more stuff happens to you actually in real life. Like, you're just GameCube gets messed
with.
Yeah,
like, there's one, like, I remember one thing in this game. Like, you enter a room and your character starts walking, but their head stays behind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would.
Granted,
creep me out.
Like, it's an older game, so, like, the graphics probably aren't as immersive as it is, like, nowadays.
No, not at all. Right.
So, like, you might find some fun with it, with the head just, like, staying there. You might think it's, like, a WWE 2K20 glitch.
But,
okay.
The worst glitch.
But.
Also, well, I was going to say, one other scare that I had, again, 3 a.m, because I'm a masochist.
The witching hour.
Yeah, was with PT, actually, because it's the L-shaped hole. And the main ghost, whose name escapes me, you turn the corner and she's standing in between you and the door and just violently shaking, like Jacob's Ladder style shaking.
Yeah, I'm
And then yeah, and then
unless you're dead wife in that game.
As you look at her, the lights go off and the door opens. The door opens up behind her and you have to walk through the darkness in order to get to that door. I was like,
yeah, that part sucked.
I was like, yeah, I'm done for tonight.
So do you want to know a fun PT fact?
What?
That ghost is always following you.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. So that ghost is following you from the minute you wake up. And, like, because the way you start, like, you wake up and then you walk through this door. That ghost is following you from the minute you wake up. It's behind you, and you're just following it. And there's at one point her body is actually in the game, but you never see it. Yeah. It's in the bathroom during a part where like the door is open a little bit, but you can't see it.
And then she like closes it real fast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she actually appears in different parts of that game too.
Yeah,
because there's
like
in
the ceiling.
Yeah, there's like a little landing right by the main door. She's up there. She'll pop in through the window right at the end of the hallway.
She's looking through the window. And...
I think she pops in through the mirror, too. I can never get her to pop through the mirror, though.
No, I never got her to do that. I got her to look at me from outside. Scared the crap out of me. The hallways and all that, through the landing up above, and then, like, just through that door from the bathroom.
Well, on that note, we are out of time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
You're welcome.
Because I'm going to think about... all of
just
this.
Go watch some Luigi's Mansion.
Some Luigi's Mansion.
It's a wholesome horror game.
Well, I would like to thank you, Leo, for joining us
on this
special Halloween podcast.
Before we go, Leo, why don't you plug your stuff again?
Plug again.
Sure. So Instagram is Leo Likos. That's LEOLICOS. Also, Instagram is leolikos.cosplay and then leolikos.music. I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/LeoLikos. I do game dev and game playthroughs.
What's that game you're developing over there? What's that called? Where can we pick that up?
Yeah, Pixel Noir. It's on early access right now on Steam, and it'll be released on PS4, PS Vita, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch next year. Oh, and also one more thing. I'm also working on another game, which we didn't talk about, called Onsen Master.
What's it called again?
Onsen Master, O-N-S-E-N Master.
Awesome.
And that's still in development. We're going to be, we have a publisher, and we just got funded on Kickstarter. So we're in full development now and hoping to release that sometime next year as well.
Awesome. And then can we see more information about that on your page as well?
Yeah, that one is, we mostly use Twitter. So if you just search Onsen Master on Twitter, and then I believe our website is just onsenmastergame.com.
Awesome.
And if you could just look it up on Kickstarter as well, and it should come up.
Great. Nice. And thank you for listening to Region Nerd Alert, everyone. This is Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. If you want to hear this podcast and all my other podcasts, we're on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, that one I always forget, NPR One. Yep. And did I say Spotify? Because that's my favorite. And also LakeshorePublicRadio.org. So thank you, everyone, for nerding out with me. Thank you, Leo, again. And thank you, my co-host.
No problem.
No problem. Right.
And goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Peace.